Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a really crucial area, keeping our 4G and 5G networks secure.
Absolutely.
These modern cellular networks have become incredibly intricate, haven't they?
They really have.
With things like virtualization and software-defined networking, the potential for attackers to find vulnerabilities, oh, it's really multiplied.
Definitely. The enhanced capabilities of 5G, while offering tremendous benefits, inherently introduce a much broader attack surface.
Right.
The more moving parts in a system, the greater the chance that something, somewhere, might have a weak spot.
So our mission today is to cut through the complexity and extract the key ideas around security testing for these networks, specifically focusing on a technique called fuzzing.
Mm.
Think of this as your shortcut to understanding how researchers are working to identify and patch those vulnerabilities.
Mm.
We'll explore different fuzzing approaches and what makes them effective in uncovering hidden flaws.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's get right into it. What exactly is fuzzing when we're talking about 4G and 5G security?
So in essence, fuzz testing is a cybersecurity technique where you feed a system, under-test the SUT with unexpected, malformed, or even completely random data.
Okay.
The goal is to see if this unusual input causes the system to misbehave. You know, maybe it crashes, you get internal errors, memory leaks, other unintended consequences.
And when we apply this to 4G and 5G.
Yeah, the SUT is typically the software that implements the network protocols themselves.
Right. So instead of sending the polite, well-structured messages the network expects, you're essentially like throwing digital tantrums at it to see how it reacts.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And to do this, you need some kind of tool to generate and send these unusual messages, right?
Precisely. That tool is called the test harness.
A test harness. Got it.
The test harness is the component responsible for creating and delivering these messages, both valid and invalid, to the system we're testing.
Yeah.
It's the active agent that performs the fuzzing.
Now, we already have standard testing procedures, don't we? So why is this fuzzing approach so vital for security?
That's a really good question. Traditional functional testing is designed to ensure a system works correctly under normal operating conditions, you know, with expected input.
Standard stuff.
Exactly. Fuzzing takes a different tack. It deliberately probes how a system handles the unexpected, the abnormal.
Ah, okay.
And this is incredibly important from a security perspective, because attackers often try to exploit vulnerabilities by providing precisely these kinds of unanticipated inputs, things that standard tests might never even encounter.
It's like trying to find the trapdoors that the original builders didn't even know they put in.
Pretty much, yeah.
Has fuzzing actually, you know, proven effective in finding real security holes in software?
Oh, absolutely. Fuzzing has a long and very successful history in cybersecurity. Google, for instance, has famously used fuzzing to uncover thousands of bugs in their Chrome browser and in countless open source projects.
Thousands, wow.
Yeah. And Microsoft also reported substantial cost savings by using their Sage fuzzing tool during the development of Windows 7, catching numerous vulnerabilities before the software was ever released.
That makes sense. Catch them early.
Exactly. These high-profile examples really underscore the practical value of fuzzing in strengthening software security. So for our deep dive, fuzzing is really a cornerstone of how we look for weaknesses in 4G and 5G network implementations.
Those are some compelling success stories. But when we're dealing with the complex communication protocols that underpin 4G and 5G, are there specific challenges? Does it make fuzzing them particularly difficult?
Yes, there are definitely several significant hurdles. One major challenge is the sheer computational complexity.
Okay.
As these communication protocols become more intricate, involve more features, the number of possible inputs and system states just explodes exponentially, really.
Right.
But this makes it incredibly difficult to thoroughly test the entire range of possibilities through fuzzing.
Right. More complexity naturally leads to more potential points of failure and just a much, much larger space to explore when testing. What's another key challenge?
Another important issue is the inherent assumption of prior knowledge. Many conventional security analysis techniques rely on having a detailed understanding of the protocol specifications.
Like reading the manual.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But attackers often don't adhere to these specifications. They might try to exploit vulnerabilities by deviating from expected protocol flows or by leveraging obscure, maybe even undocumented features.
Ah, I see.
And so if our testing only focuses on what we already know, the documented stuff, we might miss these more unconventional attack vectors.
So if you're only testing the well-documented paths, you might completely overlook the back alleys that a clever attacker could exploit.
Precisely.
And I can imagine that just randomly throwing data at a sophisticated 5G network could be incredibly demanding in terms of computing resources, right?
Exactly. What we call non-selective or purely random fuzzing can be extremely resource intensive.
Yeah.
Generating and sending vast amounts of completely arbitrary data and then sifting through the results. It can quickly become impractical, especially with the scale and complexity of modern cellular networks. This is a key consideration when we look at effective fuzzing strategies.
Okay, so we understand what fuzzing is and some of the unique challenges it faces in the 4G, 5G context. Now let's get into the how. What different strategies and frameworks are researchers developing to overcome these challenges and effectively fuzz these complex systems?
Well, there are a variety of approaches, and they're often categorized based on how much prior knowledge the fuzzer has about the system it's testing.
Okay.
One particularly interesting strategy is called listen and learn, or LAL. This is what's known as a black box fuzzing strategy.
Black box, meaning it doesn't need to know the internal workings. It treats the network like a closed box.
Exactly. It doesn't require deep pre-existing knowledge of the intricate details of the protocol itself.
How can it effectively fuzz without knowing that stuff then?
Well, LAL operates by passively observing and recording legitimate messages as they are exchanged between devices on the network.
Just listening in.
Right. It then builds a pool of these valid messages and starts to create fuzzing test cases by selectively replacing commands within the same communication channel with other observed commands.
Clever.
The underlying idea is to test whether unexpected combinations or sequences of otherwise valid commands can trigger errors or vulnerabilities.
So it essentially learns the language of the network by eavesdropping and then tries to introduce subtle grammatical errors, so to speak, to see if it breaks.
That's a great analogy, yes.
What are the main advantages of this strategy?
Well, one of the major benefits is its adaptability. Because LAL doesn't rely on predefined protocol specifications, it can be applied relatively easily to new code bases and even entirely new protocols. It just learns the communication patterns dynamically.
Makes sense.
And it's been shown to be quite effective. For example, researchers using the Sansaran 5G platform employed LAL and were able to identify a significant number 129, I believe, of RRC, that's radio resource control, connection vulnerabilities.
129, wow.
And they did so with a very short average detection time, something like 0.072 seconds.
That's fast.
It is. It highlights that even without deep protocol knowledge, observing real-world communication can quickly reveal potential weaknesses.
Wow, finding that many vulnerabilities that quickly really underscores the power of this black box approach. The research also mentions identifying risks through something called state transactions. What does that involve?
Right. So in the context of the RRC protocol, the communication between your phone and the base station goes through a series of defined states. A state transaction is simply the act of moving from one of these states to another. By monitoring these state transitions during the fuzzing process, the LAL system can build a probabilistic map of these transitions. This map helps to predict which sequences of state changes are more likely to lead to connection failures, effectively pinpointing potential areas of risk.
So looking for risky paths.
Exactly. They even identified 7 high-risk state transaction scenarios that almost exclusively occurred in failed connections.
Really?
Yeah, suggesting that it's not just individual messages, but the overall flow of communication that's critical for security. They also found a significant recall rate, around 70%. For predicting these risky transitions, just based on how frequently they occurred.
So it's not just about individual messages being malformed, but also about the sequence in which valid messages are exchanged.
Precisely.
And they even used a form of artificial intelligence for this, right? Something called LSTM.
Yes, exactly. To further improve the reliability and enable earlier prediction of these RRC connection failures, they developed a vulnerability prediction model based on LSTM. That stands for long short-term memory.
Right, AI.
It's a type of neural network that's really good at recognizing patterns and sequences of data, like these state transitions. The goal here is to predict failures with a high degree of confidence and potentially even allow the network to reroute the connection to avoid these problematic states.
Proactive defense.
Yes. The research showed that by observing just a few steps, like 10 steps in the connection setup, The LSTM model could achieve very high accuracy, like 89% AUC, or even 96% if you wait just 0.08 seconds at predicting failures.
That's impressive.
It really is. Those high accuracy rates, the AUC scores in their ROC analysis, basically mean the AI is very good at spotting potentially vulnerable connection attempts early on.
That's really fascinating, using AI to predict where vulnerabilities are likely to show up. Now, the paper also discusses other fuzzing strategies, synchronize and learn, SIOL, and source and learn, SOAL. How do these differ from LAL?
Okay, so SIOL, or synchronize and learn, is described as a gray box fuzzing strategy.
Gray box. So a bit more insight than black box.
Yep, exactly. It has a bit more information about the system compared to the purely black box LAL. SIOL leverages user-specific information that an attacker might actually be able to access, something similar to the RNTI, the Radio Network Temporary Identifier.
Okay.
And it employs a probability-based approach to its fuzzing. The researchers found that SIOL outperformed existing models in terms of both precision and recall, and importantly, it did so while requiring significantly fewer fuzzing attempts.
More efficient.
Much more efficient. The specific steps are detailed in their algorithm one, which they call fuzzing relay. What's interesting about SIOL is its ability to be more targeted by using this accessible user info.
Gray box. So using some level of internal information makes the fuzzing more efficient and effective.
Got it. And what about SOAL source and learn?
Yeah.
That sounds like it involves looking at the actual code.
You're exactly right. So OL source and learn is a white box fuzzing strategy.
Full visibility. Right. This is where the researchers have full access to the source code. They used SOAL to identify and really understand vulnerabilities by specifically fuzzing critical parts, like significant bits within the protocol messages.
Very targeted.
Yes. And this targeted fuzzing was informed by the insights they gained from the broader command level fuzzing of LAL and SIOL. A significant outcome of SOAL was the discovery of three man-in-the-middle vulnerabilities that actually stemmed from fundamental weaknesses in the 5G protocol design itself.
Wow. So finding flaws in the design, not just the implementation.
Correct.
So it's like a progression. Start black box with LAL, get a bit more info for gray box SIOL, and then use all that plus the source code for white box SOAL. That layered approach seems very thorough.
It is, yes. It allows for increasingly deeper analysis.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly to another source that introduces a framework called BaseSafe. What's the core idea behind that one?
BaseSafe is a specialized cellular fuzzing framework. It's designed specifically to find bugs in basebands and similar embedded systems within our mobile devices.
Basebands?
Yeah.
That's the chip in the phone that actually talks to the cell tower, right?
Exactly. It handles the low-level communication protocols.
Yeah.
And because it interacts directly with the, well, untrusted network, it's often a prime target for attackers.
Why is it so critical to test them securely?
Well, basebands process a significant amount of data even before your phone is fully authenticated on the network.
Ah, before you're even properly connected.
Right. This makes them a potentially hidden entry point for attackers to maybe eavesdrop, gather information, or even gain deeper control over your device without you even knowing. But the challenge is, these baseband systems are often proprietary, closed source.
Black boxes, again, in a different sense.
Exactly. And often not well understood, which makes traditional security analysis very difficult.
So BaseSafe is designed to help us see into these often opaque parts of our phones. How does it actually work then?
A key innovation of BaseSafe is its ability to partially rehost cellular baseband firmware.
Rehost, meaning run it somewhere else.
Precisely. It can take the baseband software and run it in a controlled, instrumented environment outside of the actual phone hardware. And critically, it can do this even if the original code is closed source.
How?
It utilizes the Unicorn engine, which is a type of CPU emulator. This allows for really fast execution, hundreds of executions per second per core, which massively speeds up the fuzzing process. This off-device emulation is a huge advantage.
Emulation sounds like a really powerful technique for analyzing this. So they're relevant for finding flaws that could be hit before authentication.
Exactly. Identifying vulnerabilities that could be exploited before a secure connection is established these pre-authentication attacks.
Pre-authentication attacks, meaning an attacker could potentially exploit a flaw before the phone even trusts the network. That's definitely a serious concern.
It is.
How does BaseSafe work with existing fuzzing tools to achieve this?
BaseSafe provides an API that lets it integrate seamlessly with AFL++P, which is a very widely used and highly efficient coverage-guided fuzzer.
Okay, so it hooks into established tools.
Yes, this integration enables very fast, persistent mode fuzzing. Additionally, it includes its own heap sanitizer. This uses hooks within the Unicorn emulation engine itself to detect out-of-bounds memory access during testing.
Clever.
So by combining the speed of emulation with the intelligence of coverage-guided fuzzing like AFL++, Pre-Shape+, plus these specialized memory safety checks, BaseSafe offers a very effective approach to baseband security testing.
So it's leveraging the strength of different techniques, emulation for speed and control, coverage guidance for efficiency, and memory sanitization for specific bug types. Nice. Now, let's talk about HFuzz. What's the unique contribution of this framework?
Okay, HFuzz is another gray box fuzzer. Its main innovation lies in its use of something called a message structure tree, or MST.
Message structure tree, okay.
This allows HFuzz to understand and leverage the inherent format information of protocols that have complex hierarchical frame structures. A good example is GTPv2.
GTPv2, that's a key protocol in the LTE and 5G core network, right?
It is, yes. Part of the evolved packet core.
So complex frame structure, what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, think of a network message as being composed of various building blocks. These are often called information elements, or IEs.
Okay.
A protocol is a complex frame structure. If these IEs can be nested within each other, maybe at multiple levels, creating a kind of hierarchy. HFuzz is specifically designed to parse and understand this structure so it can perform more intelligent fuzzing.
So instead of just treating the message as a raw stream of bytes, it understands its internal organization, the relationships between different parts.
Exactly.
Which specific protocols within the 4G, 5G core network is HFuzz designed to test?
The research highlights three main control plane protocols in the evolved packet core, the EPC, S1AP, Diameter, and GTPv2. HFuzz focuses specifically on GTPv2, and even more specifically, the Create Session Request message.
Why that message?
It's a very frequently used signaling message. It's responsible for setting up the data tunnels that actually carry your internet traffic, so it's critical.
Makes sense. And how does HFuzz measure its effectiveness? What metrics does it use?
HFuzz primarily uses basic block coverage as its evaluation metric.
Basic block coverage, right? That's about how much of the code gets executed.
Essentially, yes. Basic blocks are linear sequences of code without jumps. By tracking which basic blocks are executed during fuzzing, HFuzz gets a very granular view of how much of the code it's actually exercising.
How does it track that?
It uses instrumentation, basically adding code to monitor execution to record which basic blocks are reached. Higher basic block coverage generally indicates the fuzzer's exploring more functionality and therefore has a better chance of finding bugs.
So more coverage ideally means a higher chance of stumbling upon hidden vulnerabilities. You mentioned the message structure tree again. How does this MST help HFuzz get better coverage compared to other fuzzers?
Right. The MST, guided by what they call rule, is fundamental. Rule is their method for breaking down the raw message data into this hierarchical structure based on the protocol's defined format.
Okay.
This allows HFuzz to perform what they call hierarchy division and serialization of the mutated data. So when HFuzz modifies a specific part of the message within the MST, it can then reconstruct a valid binary message according to the protocol structure.
Ah, so it maintains the overall structure even when changing parts.
Precisely. This understanding of the underlying structure significantly increases the chances that the mutated messages will still be correctly processed, at least partially, by the target system. This lets the fuzzer probe deeper execution paths and potentially discover more elusive vulnerabilities.
That makes perfect sense. By understanding the grammar of the protocol, it can create more meaningful, valid-looking, malformed inputs that are more likely to trigger interesting behavior rather than just being rejected immediately.
Exactly.
The research also mentions an enhanced algorithm for statistics. What does that add?
So HFuzz keeps track of which basic blocks are triggered by the various fuzzed inputs. The enhanced algorithm refines this by focusing on what it considers significative basic blocks.
Significative, meaning important ones.
Yeah, it tries to deprioritize blocks that are executed very frequently or triggered by almost any input, assuming those are less likely to be associated with specific vulnerabilities.
Focus on the road less traveled, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah. By concentrating its analysis on the basic blocks that are more unique to certain inputs or conditions, HFuzz aims to improve its efficiency and coverage speed. And the evaluation results showed this worked. HFuzz, especially with this enhancement, achieved higher basic block coverage compared to other well-known fuzzers like AFL and Peach when testing core network components.
So it's not just about how much code you cover, but also focusing on the parts most likely to reveal vulnerabilities. Smart. Okay, finally, let's briefly touch on model-based testing. How does this fit into the broader picture?
Right. Model-based testing offers a well, a fundamentally different approach compared to fuzzing.
Different how?
Instead of generating large volumes of potentially malformed inputs, it focuses on verifying whether a program's behavior aligns with a formal abstract model of how it should operate.
A model, like a blueprint.
Exactly. This technique has proven successful in finding vulnerabilities in other complex protocols, like TLS and Wi-Fi.
So you build a blueprint of how the protocol should work. How does that help find security weaknesses?
You create a model that precisely describes the expected handshake procedures, communication flows, state transitions, everything. Then you generate test cases based on this model.
Okay.
These include both correct sequences and intentional deviations modifications that violate the model's rules. By running these tests against the actual system and checking if its responses and outcomes match the model's predictions, you can uncover logical inconsistencies and potential vulnerabilities.
So you're not just looking for crashes, but for any behavior that deviates from the expected designed operation.
Precisely.
What kinds of security issues is model-based testing particularly good at finding?
It's often very effective at identifying logical flaws that might not cause a crash, but could still have serious security implications.
Like what?
Things like downgrade attacks, where an attacker tries to force the use of a weaker security protocol, or certain denial of service vulnerabilities that could stop legitimate users from connecting. The test case generation can involve various manipulations defined by model dropping messages, reordering them, injecting extras, or modifying specific fields in specific ways.
It sounds like model-based testing provides a more structured, targeted way to look for specific classes of vulnerabilities related to the protocol's intended logic, complementing the more exploratory nature of fuzzing.
Exactly. They're different but really valuable tools in the toolkit for securing these critical mobile networks.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into the world of security testing and fuzzing for 4G and 5G networks. We've covered quite a range of topics, from the basics of fuzzing to sophisticated strategies like listen and learn.
Base safe emulation.
Right. Base safe emulation, HFuzz's structure-aware approach, and also model-based testing.
And it's crucial to remember the underlying significance of all this work. As 4G and especially 5G networks become, you know, increasingly integral to everything we do, underpinning critical services, ensuring their resilience against threats is just paramount.
Absolutely.
The techniques we've discussed today really represent just a fraction of the ongoing innovation in this vital field.
So, considering this diverse array of fuzzing techniques we've talked about, black box, gray box, white box, and just the sheer complexity of 5G protocols, what do you see as the most critical directions for future research? Where should the focus be to stay ahead of potential adversaries? Is it more AI, better emulation, more comprehensive models? It certainly feels like there are still many exciting avenues to explore.
There absolutely are. It's a constantly evolving challenge.
For those of you listening who want to dig deeper, I highly recommend checking out the research papers and the open source tools we've mentioned today. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.